How many of y'all believe it's worth it? It's worth it. Huh? It's just worth it. I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to stand up. I want you to take each other's hand. I want you to come across the aisles. You can even give each other a hug for a minute while we're doing this. Come on, Freddie, over here. You got to get Dale. All right. Good job. And I want you to see. So come on, y'all, cross the aisles. Get each other's hand over here. There you go. Touch. Yeah. Now, I want you to feel this for just a moment. This is what it's like for all of us to be together. That we are really connected to one another. And today I want to start this sermon. We're going to talk about a characteristic of a guy named Joseph. And he gets a dream from God. I'm going to go ahead and give you the punchline of the sermon, all right? All dreams from God affect somebody else. All dreams from God affect somebody else. Now, I'm going to show you how crazy I am. I believe in the person that you're holding the hand with, they have been given a dream from God. And that dream or that vision or that revelation or that truth affects you. Now, just dream with me for just a moment. Can you imagine if you and I made a decision today to release the dream of God that's in this service? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you're a dream maker. And I want to thank you that you're a dream keeper. And I want to thank you, God, that in this room today, as we have worshiped, as we have shouted your name with triumph and praise, that what is in this room is beyond what we can see, what we can hear, and what we can touch. And Lord, we thank you for the cross, because through that cross, we get to be a part of your vision. So God, now may we continue as we worship and as we learn and as we build relationships and as we pray and as we minister and serve, may we make the dream realized. How many of y'all could be in agreement with that today? Amen. How many of y'all could be in agreement with that today? That the dream of God would be realized. All right, now you can be seated. I just wanted you to get a feel, and there's some things I want to let out to you right off the bat. I want you to know that you're absolutely important. And I think sometimes we just need to be told that every once in a while. You are absolutely important. You are breathing today. You're living today. You're in existence today because God has a purpose in your life. How many of y'all believe that? God has a purpose in your life. Now, I believe human beings have a choice. I believe God's going to get his job done no matter what. I really do believe that. I believe God to be absolutely sovereign. And here's what I believe. If you're not going to be a part of it, somebody will. And here's what I love about God. It doesn't take a minority. It doesn't take a majority, excuse me, of faithful people to get it done. It just takes a few people that are willing to be faithful for great things to happen. You know, in fact, and sometimes we get it all wrong. We want to get a whole bunch of people to come with us, and all we really need to do is just be faithful to what God has spoken to us. And part of that's just because we're Americans, and we've been brainwashed over and over by this thing that the majority rules. Well, I'm going to really blow some of you away, especially those of you that have studied politics. Majority doesn't rule. God rules. Amen. God rules. And his purposes will be there in the end, no matter how bad we twist them in the middle. God's purposes will work out in the end, no matter how bad we twist them in the middle. Now, I want to start with this guy named Joseph. How many of y'all know who Joseph is? Well, he's one of 12 kids. All right? His father has two wives. Right there's a problem. You remember Jacob got that bad deal? You know, Jacob, he worked for 7 years for Laban. And I mean, what a raw deal. The guy goes and works for 7 years because he is madly in love with this girl named Rachel. And Rachel means starry-eyed. Now, back then, you could kind of, you know, you made arrangements for these marriages. Now, I feel a little bit like Jacob. When I got ready and I fell madly in love with Elizabeth, I had to work for her father for a little of nothing for a whole year, landscaping, digging holes, so I could get enough money to buy her a diamond ship and say, would you marry me? And Laban, though, he worked for 7 years. And back then when you got married, they wore a big old veil. You know, it's kind of like you was marrying a tent. And you really didn't know what you had till you got back to the tent. And when he got back to the tent, he flipped open the veil, and lo and behold, Laban had given him Leah, which in Hebrew means like a cow. That's what it means. Now, y'all let your minds wander wherever you wanted to wander. But he went from starry-eyed to not so starry-eyed. We can say that with kindness, okay? But he was in love with Rachel, and Rachel could not bear a son for a long time. And finally, she has Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph is favored among his brothers. Some people are just favored. How many of y'all notice that some people are just favored? How many of y'all been in a group of people and there's just some people everybody likes? And then there's just some people that some people like. And then there's some people nobody likes. Have you noticed that? That's just kind of the way humanity kind of works out. But I want you to know that everybody's important. And I believe this, because Jesus Christ has died and because Jesus Christ has connected us to heaven, everybody's got a portion of God's dream now. But Joseph was given a dream from God. Now, last week, we heard about Noah. Remember, we want to get these characteristics because they're all in us. Remember, Noah has this vision, this command from God. And Noah's obedience and his faithfulness to God's plan rescues humanity. Now note this. God uses human beings to make a difference on earth. How many of y'all see that? I've got several of my colleagues now, and they've gotten so spiritual they've forgotten about the incarnation. God uses people. The Bible is a book full of stories of God invading people with His Spirit. And nothing's changed on that. God still invades us with His Spirit, His grace, His truth, His vision, and His purpose. Well, Joseph is going to line up with the purposes of God. Now, I want you to note right off the bat, everybody gets a dream. I'll give you one purpose in your life that you ought to know in this church. Did you realize that the grace of God that's been given in your life is purposed so another life may connect to it? Amen. It's the Great Commission. Jesus would not endow us with the power of the Holy Spirit to just sit there in our own glory. God's dreams bring heaven in. Y'all understand that? God's dreams illustrate heaven to more than you. Your life is an instrument of connection. And Joseph is going to get a dream. Now, his brothers don't like him because his father makes a bad move. And we pick up here in Genesis 37, a bad move. Parents, this is a careful move. Even if you like one child better than the other, find God's purpose in all your children. How many of y'all have more than one child? How many of y'all notice they came from the same place, but they're weird? Isn't that interesting? It doesn't matter how many children you have, none of them are exactly alike. How many of y'all have found that? I know Blake and Clacy have similarities, but they have distinct differences. One of the rooms is well organized and put together, and the other room would give a hurricane a run for its money. Differences in people. But God uses people and gives them His dream so that God's glory might affect the world. Noah's obedience, rescue of humanity. Joseph's dream, God's dream in Joseph, leads to freeing his family. Now, here's what I want you to know. Right off the bat, people don't like it when you have a dream. I mean, I'm just going to let you know that. All right? I really want you to know in America, we want everybody to be average. And we really kind of, especially in this culture today, we just flinch when people are exceptional. And we get angry. This is my observation. I see a whole lot more people angry at people that are successful than at people that are failures. Because successful people do something to us. And guess what they do? They hold us accountable that we could do greater things. And so if we decide we don't want to do greater things, we would rather get angry at those who have than really take an introspective look at who we are. What do you think? Huh? Why do we get angry at people who make a lot of money? Jealousy? Envy? What else? Come on, talk. I like this when you talk. We got this anger, we got this envy, we got this jealousy. By the way, are those things that Scripture says will kill us? Why do we get into them? Yeah, but we're human, but we're not just human. We're not human. Ah, I ain't giving you that one in this room. No, you're not running that by me anymore. I heard that in Sunday school for 16 years. I'd hear the truth of God, and then, Earl, I'd always hear this. But we're only human. Well, I got to thinking about that. That's not true anymore. That's not true anymore. I don't know about you, but I've had the cross of Jesus Christ invade my life. I'm not just human anymore. Wait just a minute. My sins have been forgiven. I'm not only human anymore. But wait a minute. I have been touched by resurrection power. The same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is now in my human life. Hold on. I'm not only human anymore. I am a human touched by God. Wait just a minute. Is a human touched by God, Nathan Bolton, soon to be Dr. Bolton? This sermon's for you today personally. Nathan, if I'm touched by God, am I only human anymore? No. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, I'm not just human. No, hold that. Y'all sure you want to go here today? Talk to me. You sure you want to go here today? I mean, are you sure you want to go here today? Because if you go here, you're going to become accountable. If you go here, you're going to become accountable. Let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier to just quote scripture verses than it is to actually live them. It's a whole lot easier to just raise your hand and give a little what I call audience praise than to actually become a life of praise. If you accept this truth in your life, you must embrace the dream God has given you. I like Joseph. For this reason, he believes what God showed him, even when it doesn't make sense. Can y'all relate to this? How many of y'all know without a doubt you're forgiven? But how many of y'all have had some moments where you wonder? Here's my moment sometimes. God, I'm glad you've forgiven me because I really need to be forgiven at times. I mean, I just don't know how it is that sometimes you can have those days and you and the Holy Spirit are just in rhythm. And then there's other days like you've never been to church a day in your life. Y'all ever have those moments? You know, sometimes my thoughts are, thank you, God. And sometimes my thoughts are, where are you, God? Y'all ever have those days? But there's a dream of God, and He puts it in the hearts of humans. Now, I want you to see, there's a similarity, and I'm tying this. I've never tied this before, but I think there's a tie here. There's a similarity to Joseph's dream and the anointing you and I get from the cross and the resurrection. Now watch this. Joseph has a dream. Did I tell you that his brothers already don't like him? Well, on top of this, his dad goes and makes him a silk robe. Has multicolors. Joseph is doing tie-dye before the 60s. Now, how many of y'all get just a little bit edgy when somebody's got something you don't have? Come on. But I want to ask you a real question. Do you ever use what you have? Now, Joseph is obedient in this. He has a favored position. It's okay to have a favored position if you use it for the glory of God. Ask Esther. Esther was a knockout. I'm so glad that Esther was there. The scripture says that Esther was a beautiful woman. One of these stunning women that you just, oh! You say, praise be to God. Brady, you ever seen one like that? A praise be to God woman? You say, thank you God for making her. Amen. Now that's all you can say. Amen. But you know, there's this beauty of God coming through here. She's in a favored position, and she uses it to do what? Bring in freedom for the people. You see, use what you have. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. And I'm going to tell you what, if you'll wake up to the dream of God in your life, and then you'll hold on to the dream of God in your life, and then if you'll step toward the dream of God in your life, the dream of God in your life begins to be realized. Now, once again, can you imagine all of us realizing our dream of God together? I believe we all got one, a call, a vision, a moment with God. Now, here's Joseph's. He's been given a robe. He's been given a robe of many colors. When his brothers saw, verse 4, chapter 37 of Genesis, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Now, Beth Ann's kind of grinning because there's four of us children in my family, and my three brothers and sisters, including the Reverend Beth Ann, are in deep disillusionment. At times, they have even called me the anointed one of the family. And I said, this is not true. I said, I was more like the goat in the Old Testament that took on the sins of the other children. Y'all don't understand how compassionate I was to my brothers and sisters. I could have made all A's in high school, but I chose not to. So it would be easier on them to go through and be glorified. I was an escape goat, Mark, an escape goat. It's in the Old Testament. Elizabeth says she's glad I put the Bible down when I started telling this story. But you got to use your position, amen? Now listen, we all got a position. True? If you're in a family, you got a position. You're an oldest child, you're a middle child, you're the youngest child. Now who always is favored in a family? The baby. Exactly right. Now there's Elizabeth's position. You see, the baby is always favored. In our house, same way. My little youngest sister never got in trouble for anything, and she caused more trouble than all three of the rest of us put together. No, she really didn't. It started out bad and got better, okay? But yeah, we all have these positions. Now, what I'm going to ask you today, how do you use your position in life to bring in the reality of God? You're a father, you're a mother, you're a child, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're an uncle, you're an aunt, you're an employee, you're an employer, you have leadership, you follow leadership. How do you use your position in life to usher in God's reality? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you spend more time complaining about the position you're in than you do using the position God's put you in? I've often wondered what would happen in American society if men were like really satisfied with being men and women were really satisfied with being women, how much that would change in our culture. You know what? Instead of wondering what I don't have, if I started using what I did have, I wonder what would happen. Have you ever just taken an account of how much you have? Well, Joseph had a robe. He had a nice looking robe. He had a robe that was better looking than his brother's. Now, I want you to know, his brothers despised, in fact, the scripture goes this harsh on it, they hated him. You know what I found? We hate people that'll do it right in America today. We hate them. You know why? You know why? They indict us.
Because it's true. If they can do it, then logically, what does that mean? We can do it. I hear this all the time in addictions. I'm going to tell you both sides of the addiction story. There's people that come out of rotten, scandalous homes. Have you all seen that? Some of you may come out one where it came out of a home where your mother and father, they were just rotten. I mean, they made a ton of bad decisions. They didn't practice good lifestyle. And guess what? They were alcoholics or they were drug addicts. And they just, but you know what? I'm going to blow you all away. Did you know that not everybody that comes out of that environment becomes like that? Now, we hate to hear that. Because guess what that means? It is possible to make a human choice with divine intervention and not be what your environment says you have to be. Now, we don't hear that story much, though, do we? We like to hear, I'm a this because of a that. What if we had to say, I'm a this because I chose to be this? See, Joseph's got a choice. He has a dream for God, and it's going to cause human conflict. It's going to cause a lot of human conflict. Now, when things get tough, he can either let go of God's dream, or he can hold on to God's dream and ride it out. Now, here's what I want you to know right off the bat. If you're going to follow God, there will be some tough times. True? How many of y'all have ever read the Bible? Is the Bible full of this story? I met Jesus and all went well with me. I met Jesus and nothing bad ever happened to my life after I met him. I mean, just look at Jesus. What a raw deal. You'll run around loving people and they crucify you. Why? Why did they do that to Jesus? What did he house in him? God and God's dream for humanity. Mercy, provision, life. And what did we do with it? Get it out of here. And then what did it do when we tried to get it out of here? It came back. Now I got good news. If you will be obedient to what God has put in you, it will come out. No matter what the peril, it will come out. No matter how far you look down, it will what? Look at Joseph. Here's what he does. He has a dream from God and he wants to share it. How many of y'all remember when you first met Jesus? How many of y'all were so excited to know your sins were forgiven, man? You were clean. You'd never been living a life like this. How many of y'all ever shared that with a friend that just didn't believe in Jesus? Was that not a downer or what? You went, oh man, I went on this encounter, or I went to this place, or I went to church, and I found Jesus in my life, and my sins are free, and man, I got this thing called the cross that has forgiven me, and this power called the resurrection, and I just want to share this with you. And they go, are you a Jesus idiot? And you go, oh. You see, the dream that God put in your life was began to be questioned by people that couldn't understand the dream. Well, this is Joseph's dilemma. He gets a dream. Characteristic. Dreams are given by God, and they're given to people. I personally believe that through the cross and resurrection, dreams are given to everybody. God wants you to live in your forgiveness. God wants you to live in His grace. God wants you to know that there is a real dream at the end of this journey called life, and guess what it is? What do you think it is? When this is all done, what happens, guys? Y'all don't know? Oh, man, you've been coming to church. No wonder you've been bored. When this is all over, what happens? Heaven! What's wrong with that? Why don't we preach that anymore? When this is all over, you and I live with God forever through the cross, the resurrection, and the mercy of Jesus. There's a dream to this life. Huh? How many of y'all glad you get to go to heaven? Anybody glad about that today? We get to live in heaven. Crazy. Man, you go tell that to the world, they'll look at you like, man, you on drugs. But I want you to hear the philosophy of the world. Here's the philosophy of some of the world. Here's their dream. Live out your life, do some good things, and die. And when you die, there's nothing. You just die. And we wonder why we're all depressed. You say, well, Pastor Harris, you don't understand. I'm an intellectual. You know, you're not an intellectual. You're a human without a dream. Because you can only observe what you see. And you can only comment on what you have seen or what has been seen. That's a very limited life. And if intellect is only observing what I can see or what has been seen, then I will not have a lot of potential in my existence. But faith places a dream in my life that says, I can hold on to what I cannot see. I can believe I am going to be where I have not been. I believe that things can unfold out of my existence that have never been seen. Now that's the power of the church. In fact, I would propose to you, I think maybe we've relied a little bit too much on intellect and not enough on faith. And that is in no way to excuse intellectual prowess. I think that that's important, and I think that brings wisdom into our lives. And I really believe this is where intellect is. Intellect helps pave the road for God's dream. It helps us understand that there is a God, and God makes sense, and God wants to engage with us. And Joseph was able to contemplate intellectually God. And he begins to share his dream. Let me tell you what, I'm going to come back to this dream every Sunday till we get it. I believe there's a person that needs to hear Jesus, and he needs to hear it, and she needs to hear it from you. And not only is it God's dream that you tell them, it's God's command. Because God has a dream that his people would be touched by his mercy and his grace, and he died for the dream. Amen? And so guess what? In a real way, God's already put a coat of many colors on you. God's favored you as a human because he's been willing to forgive you. What do you think about that? And I want you to note that when you follow God, when you follow Jesus, what does the scripture say about Jesus? There will be a moment in time that every knee will do what?
Bow.
And confess what? Edward? He's King of Kings. Jesus is Lord. Even those who did not accept him will confess him. There will be a moment in time. How many of y'all believe that moment of time will be real? There'll be a moment of time where Jesus is revealed. He is literally revealed. And everybody will say, that's the Lord. Jesus, He is Lord. He is the one that is Lord. He is it. How many of you all already believe that? Okay, that's what makes you different. You've decided to embrace God's reality called grace, called faith, called salvation in your existence. Now, Joseph is going to embrace God's dream. He embraces it. He sees it first, and he has this dream. It comes to him in a vision. How many of y'all realize that God speaks in images? Are images a great way to communicate? Huh? Well, absolutely. The computer world uses them every day. How many of you, when you log on, boom, there's an image. There's a sound. There's images. God communicates this way. And he says this to Joseph. Let's embrace it. Even though his brothers despised him, God loved him. Keep that in mind. Joseph had a dream, verse 5. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now, how many of y'all would just give up right there? Well, this can't be from God because other people don't like it. How many of y'all evaluate what is true in your life upon how other people respond? Brenda and Donna here. Brenda and Donna, 17 years ago, all of my colleagues said Hillview Heights Church would never reach anybody. It was a dead church. That was the experts of intellect in my sphere of the world at that moment of time in 1991. They said, Ayers, don't go to that church. That church has fired preachers all the time, and you're a candidate to be fired without any help from anybody. But God had a what? You see, Hillview Heights is not Steve Ayers' dream. It's not the people that were here. It's God's dream. And when it's God's dream, He's not asking you. He's not asking you to work it out. He's asking you to believe it. He's not asking you to take a vote on it. He's asking you, will you step into it? He's not asking you if it will happen. He's asking you, will you be a part of the happening? He says, Joseph, if you listen to me and if you hold on to me, I'm going to give you a position that you cannot see right now. Now remember, in the house he had a what kind of position? A favored position. Note with me for just a moment. Joseph was used to being favored by his... no matter what. Now Joseph is going to get a dream from the ultimate father. And through the journey of his life, he's going to understand how to hold this word, favored. Favored. Now you say, well, I'm not favored. You are favored in Jesus Christ. Every one of us are favored. How many of y'all buy that? Every one of you are favored because God came to save all people. He didn't come to save some people. He came to save all people. Now let me show you how this works. God came to save all people. Some will choose to be saved. I don't know a human being. I don't know a human being that God X's out if they come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I need to repent of my sins. I realize I'm a sinner. I know You're a Savior. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You've risen from the grave. I want to follow You. I want to surrender my life to You. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Who does God exempt from that if they come in that direction? No one. Favored. Look at your neighbor and go, I'm favored. Come on, I'm favored. Come on, I'm favored. Come on, y'all talk. Y'all look like y'all scaring me. You're too silent. I'm favored. Confess it. I'm favored in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not favored because of who I am. I'm favored because of who He is. Amen? Does that make sense? But he had a dream, and here was his dream, and he's just got to go share it with his brothers. Ha! This will be a treat. Did I tell you they already hate him? Now they're really going to hate him. In fact, if I was Joseph, I think I'd have kept this to myself. I said, all right, God, thanks for the dream, but I'm not going to share it. But I got to tell you something. When you get a dream from God, you need to share it. See, one of the problems we have in the church today that I want to enlighten us to, we need to share the dreams God has in our lives. That's why I love all you university students here. I love all you university students, all you grad students. Get a dream and live it out. And don't let anybody have it. Don't let anybody have it. If it encourages you, I've had 1,000 zillion people tell me in my life how I couldn't do what's happened in my life. 1,000 zillion people tell me all the time, it won't work, it can't happen, this will never happen, people will never do this, you can't do that, you can't. In fact, it fires me up. It is like liquid energy in my life. Elizabeth learned this a long time ago. If she wants me to do something, she just tells me I can't do it. And I go do it just in spite. And she just laughs because she gets done what she wants done anyway. She didn't think I knew that. Look at here. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood right up while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Now, I'm sure they were thrilled to hear about that dream. Now, watch this. What was God showing Joseph? His sheaf rose up. Yeah? And the other sheaves did what? Now, what was that dream? What was it declaring to Joseph? Even more than that, it rose up. Remember, you're in a time of kings and pharaohs. Joseph, I'm going to put you in a place of authority. Now, here's where the connection is. If I'm reading Matthew 28 right, somebody turn to it. Did Jesus not say, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me? And did he not infuse that authority to us?
So in a real way, our sheaf has been lifted up above the world. And if we lived in that authority, do you think some people might start bowing down to the ways of God? Now, Pastor Reynolds, I got to thinking about this. Not that I can think deeply. But as I was thinking, I think of the words we use in the 21st century. Equality is a big word in America. We're seeing scenes all the time in America. We always have somebody that's always worried about not being equal. I wonder if we change that word from equality and started looking at this. Am I favored by God? Not am I equal in task, but am I favored with God in my task? If that would start raising our sheaves up a little bit. Just think about this week, will you? God's given me a dream and a responsibility, and God favors me, and wants to walk with me. And guess what? I believe some things that are in your way would start what? Things will bow down to the authority of God. Now, let me show you how the authority of God works. Those who follow God are extremely kind. You'll find characteristics that come out of Joseph. He was always kind. He was always committed. He was always obedient. And the dream took priority in his life. We're beginning to move in this vein at Hillview. Guess what? I don't want power. Tony Campolo, when he came here and spoke to us, I think he spoke a real word of truth, if you could grab it. It's not about power. It's about authority. Because guess what? Joseph never loses his authority, but boy, he's going to lose his power. And sometimes we're going to lose our power, but we're never going to lose his authority. Make sense? People say that about the church. They go, well, the church is powerless. Well, I'll argue with that. The church is not powerless. It may seem powerless at times, but guess what? The authority of God is still the church. And what's going to happen to the church one day? It'll wake up. What else? What do we know in the end happens to the church? Sound familiar? And Joseph's sheaf did what? And the church will. And when I ask Jesus Christ into my life, maybe we need to sing that old hymn again. Rise up, O men of God. And women too. Rise up and be what? Counted. I remember this hymn. I used to love it because it's one of the few that had a little kick to it. Stand up for Jesus. Soldiers of the cross. Man, we don't even use that language in the church anymore because that means we would actually do something. We would rather be friends of Jesus. Singing kumbaya and open and enter his gates with praise. Let's hold hands and skippity-doo-dah through the kingdom of God all day long. Let's all be sweet and nice and polite, and God will return. If Disney had written the Bible, that would be a great way to live. But God says, when I raise you, all else will bow down. Think about this for a moment. When Jesus Christ came out of the ground, he was what? Come on, follow me. When he was risen, what happened to all other principalities, authorities? Bow down. Now, I'm in Genesis. Is God pretty consistent? Now, here's what I want you to know. God raises you up to provide for others. Now, here's what's amazing. Little do Joseph's brothers know that when they bow down to him, Joseph's leadership will be their provision. It's not far enough in the future. So here's what he does next. He has another dream from God. Oh, what a dreamer. His brother said to him, Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he has another dream, and he told it to his brothers. He just needs to shut up.
He said, I heard, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Check this out. He got mom and dad in this one. Now, I thought of my own earthly father, because I've shared many dreams with him through my lifetime. And I could see him, and I thought, man, if I was in the position of Joseph, and I had to go tell my dad this, because, and then he told his father as well. He told his father as well and his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? But his father's pretty smart. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. Could it be that God would raise my son to a position that I would need him? Now, I want to draw in conclusion this. Live out your dream God has given you. Now, we have a responsibility as a church, too. Don't rebuke each other's dreams. They might be true. I'm going to give you some dream relief. Give you some dream relief. If God is raising somebody up to do something, it blesses you. Because you're a part of who? God. Let's look at attitude here. Can you imagine in the church if we made a conscious decision? Now, we're okay with this, but I'm talking about maximizing this. I had somebody ask me 2 weeks ago, they said, Pastor Steve, are you ever just going to quit where we can just kind of settle down and have church? And I'll give you the answer I gave them. No. You know, I hope every year I live, I get crazier about this thing. And if I get to live in my 80s and 90s, I'll be just uncontainable. I'll be that. It, no matter what I'll say then, I'll have half of a mind and a full spirit. I'll be a dangerous deal. Plus, I can say, I remember back then. You ready? Here's what I love about aging. You do know exactly what not to do. You still may be uncertain about what to do, but you sure know what not to do. Amen? Why? Because you've done it once. And God's taught you that's not my dream. I want to encourage us to hear God's dream in each other. I want to encourage us to embrace Jesus' dream, that all people could be connected and touched by God. Now, the Joseph story goes on. His life hits travail. And next week, we're going to talk about this. What do you do when God's dream is at hand and in motion and temptation comes? Because most of us, we do a pretty good job at receiving the dream. It's holding on to the dream in moments of what? Temptation. Because let me tell you, what will always come, and it's just consistent in the Scripture, will always come against God's authority. Man's power will always want to come against God's authority. That's why Jesus says some strange things. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's contradictory to everything we teach. We say, blessed are the powerful, they will what? Rule. The problem with human power is it never rules for a long time. Check your history. And we're under the Roman Empire today? What happened? Man's room failed. We watched a whole government system collapse in the 20th century. What was it? Communism. It ruled for about 100 years. And then it what? Collapsed. Even in our own nation. What are we struggling with right now? The systems of capitalism and our own political structure is on shaky ground. Why? Let me leave you with this. Man's power at its best is temporary. God's dreams are eternal. I encourage you to live in them. Amen.
Even when your brothers hate you.
But now they need to hate you for this. That's the most loving person I know, and I hate them. Those are the kindest people I've ever met, and I hate that. Those people live out dreams and visions. I can't stand it. They always get through somehow. Amen? Check this out. Joseph's going to go into slavery. Pretty cool. We're going to see how a guy overcomes slavery. Joseph's an ex-con. He gets thrown in jail. Joseph has a moment to make some whoopee with a real good-looking woman. Y'all will read Genesis now, won't you? It sounds like a soap opera. Chooses not to. Joseph gets shut down by the political powers. But let me show you something. God's dream in Joseph's life wins. So may God's dream win in your life. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Y'all been beautiful today. Been more than beautiful today. A dream from heaven that you would be saved today. Jesus' dream. We're sinners. We've messed up. If you want to connect to God's dream, you got to connect to Jesus' heart. Today, is there someone here that needs to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross for me, and I believe that you've risen from the grave, and I believe you'll live in me. Watch this. This changes everything. And you got to get honest with God and say, God, Jesus, come into my what? Life. And He'll invade it, and you'll never be the same. Please don't leave here without that salvation. They say, well, man, I'm worried about what my friends might think. They might not like you, but God will love you. That's the truth. So today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Maybe you've already done that this week and you really need to come and you need to say, you know what? You know, I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to do everything God told me to do. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to get baptized today. Maybe you need to come today and just say, God, you gave me a dream a long time ago. And just through the everydayness of life, I've forgotten to live out that vision. But today, I want you to know I still remember it. If you will allow it, God will get it done. Amen? He is faithful. The one who has called you is faithful to finish you. How many of y'all, that's good news today? Me too. Well, let's come. Let's pray someone gets saved today. Amen? Yeah. 8 o'clock. I'm going to continue to bug you and burden you. Guess what? There's seats here. There's seats in the balcony. Although they're getting, you know, there's people up there now. Praise God. Y'all fill up the balcony. I got to remind you because we've been church here long enough now to, if we're not careful, we'll just want to be church. There's a friend that needs to hear about your Jesus. Share it. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, you know the hearts of humanity here today. You know that some people today just need to walk this altar and get saved. You already know that. God, you've given a lot of us dreams. But in the turmoil of everydayness, we've forgotten your dream. When life took turns we never imagined, we forgot that you had established something with us in authority a long time ago. So I pray, God, that we might just rekindle that today. Amen? If you need to receive Jesus, we'd love to talk to you. If you need to baptize, we'd love to talk to you. People have already started praying, and that's what they're supposed to do. And I'm going to invite you today to come and pray that God's dream in this church might be realized. Amen? And that we together might do our part to be a part of His grace and His authority. Come on, let's pray together. Let's end this service together in prayer. Let's come and be baptized. Let's come and let God just touch our lives. Amen? Come on, church. Come on. Let God have His way today. Come on.